definitely live in snake country, rattlesnake country, so I think there's some got loose in our sanctuary here. So thank you, Cindy, for that. If you can, as able, please kneel with me for a morning prayer here. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your infinite love for us, for the gift of life. Thank you, Lord, for all the fathers here in our congregation, and those that can't be here, Lord. Just know the great responsibility and role that fathers play, so, and how the devil will always be trying to take us down. So pray for each one of us as a father here, and we'll be a father someday, that we can have the strength and character to lead our families and provide for families, and ultimately rely on you as you sustain us in all things. Lord, we want to pray for our church family, all those here and those not here. Please provide the Holy Spirit to bring comfort and peace this Sabbath, that we can have a little foretaste of what heaven will be like with you. Lord, we just pray for all of the our country, for our leaders, as we're approaching a major milestone in this nation's history. Lord, pray that your will continue to be done, guide, and continue to give us opportunity to spread your end times message to the world and to our neighbors. Lord, we want to pray for our pastor today as he brings us your word. I want to pray for baby Mateo, that you'll please rest your spirit on him in a special way. Pray for Luis and Uresi and all their family as they raise this little man for you, Lord. Pray for Pastor Chavez as he leads out in this important service here, Lord. And once again, we just ask your presence to be here with us. Please help our hearts and minds to be in tune with you, and nothing to distract us from focusing on you as our Heavenly Father and our sustainer. In your name, amen.
Good morning and happy Sabbath, everyone. Happy Father's Day. I didn't realize it was Father's Day weekend, which is perfect for this. Thank you for letting us have this baby dedication today for our family. I want to invite Fer and Yeresi with the baby to come up here. But just so you guys know, yeah, coming up. Today is a day of answered prayers for this family. There are moments in life when we're reminded of God's timing, and this was one of those. And God never works on our time, right? He always works on His time, and His time is always perfect. For this family, the journey to having this baby with us was a long journey. It was lots of waiting, lots of hope, lots of tears and broken hearts, lots of love, lots of trust. And then there were challenges once the baby did come. There was challenges that, you know, of a premature birth. And we continue to pray for the family and for the baby as he sat in the NICU. And it all just reminded us how much we need God. And yet here we are today, right, to celebrate more than just the birth of a baby, but we celebrate God's faithfulness. That even as Paul says to Timothy, even when we're unfaithful, He remains faithful. And this little one is a testimony that God hears every prayer, walks with us through every difficult situation, and He continues to write beautiful works, beautiful miracles for us that maybe we haven't even seen yet or imagined. So we're just so grateful to God. I want to hold them real quick before we pray. Hey, baby. Oh, you want the bottle, huh? I can give him the bottle. Look at him. I would ask the whole family to come, but should we get your mom here, at least? Yeah. Nah, she's a little shy. So today we are dedicating baby Mateo Martinez. And I don't know if you know this, but Mateo actually means a gift of God. And he truly is that to this family. We're just so excited that, you know, he's here, he's healthy. And more than anything, this is a public commitment from the parents and the whole family to raise this child to experience God's love every day of his life, to help him know Jesus, and to help him discover a purpose that God has already written for him. So we are happy for them, and I'm going to pray. And for the rest of us and the community, family, friends, it's our commitment to support them through it all and just help them and guide him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that when we're unfaithful, you remain faithful, that your timing is not ours. And even through those difficult moments, the long periods of wait, you're still with us. Thank you that you still hear our prayers and you still answer them. Thank you that you love us so much that you came and died for us so that we may never be away from you, separated from you again. And so as we dedicate baby Mateo today to you, to a life pursuing you, I pray that your Holy Spirit may be so evident in his life, that your Holy Spirit may be so evident in every walk and every stage of his life, that he may just know that you are with him every step of the way. Thank you for Fernando and Yaresi and for how you've blessed them, how you've brought them together, how you've blessed their marriage. And we just praise you today for that, God. We pray that they may continue to grow in wisdom and in love and relationship with you. And for this community, for this church, for this family, I pray that we may be able to be a support for them, showing them your love, showing them support, showing them who you are, even if it is just through prayers. Sometimes that is the most powerful thing we can do, and we just thank you for the opportunity to partner together in this mission with you. Father, we thank you, and we love you, and we pray all of this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
So the church here, thank you once again for allowing us to do this with the family today. There's a certificate right here. Let me give you the baby back.
Yeah.
You get to go back with Daddy.
And the church has also put together a little gift basket. Thank you so much, church. We really appreciate you all. You want me to hold that?
Yeah, because I don't think...
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
So as our church family, to you guys, my heart, I know what it's like to have a NICU baby and a preemie. We congratulate you. We're so excited for your family to be here to celebrate with you. We love little Mateo, and we're so happy to see him here. So there is a blanket that one of our members made. Lola Mayworth, thank you to
thank
her
you.
For making this blanket for you.
Thank you.
Today's scripture is Galatians 4, verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father.
Good morning, church family. Good to see so many today on this Father's Day weekend. I hope you will honor your fathers and your mothers, because that is one of the commandments. And also, let's have a word of prayer as I get started with this message. Abba, Father. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you because of your great love for us. In John 3:16, you sent your only begotten Son so that we might have faith and believe in him, and that we might have life, and more abundantly, we might live with you forever. We might dwell with our God who loves us and calls us into his family. So bless us with your Holy Spirit today as we read the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In today's message, I'd like to try to come at this verse from a different few angles, different perspectives or something, so that we can understand the verse a little better. But one of the things that the first angle is, it's Father's Day. So this text talks about a child and his father. And that child is us, isn't it? So we all have earthly fathers, but we also have our heavenly Father. And so the second angle, I'm going to look at several different angles in the sermon, but the first angle was it's Father's Day, and I have a father, and I have a heavenly Father. The second angle is the historical angle. As we look at the book of Galatians, the history of what's going on in the early churches, the verse is part of Paul's epistle to the Galatian churches, written during a time when early Christian communities were struggling to establish their identity amidst some legalism. It was the Jewish legalism, and there was another problem. The Gentiles were mostly pagans. They worshipped idols. And so the context of Galatians deals with the conflict between the Judaizers, who insisted that the Gentile converts must observe the law, Moses' law, including circumcision. And Paul's doctrine was of justification by faith alone. So Galatians chapter 4 is particularly focused on elaborating how the coming of Christ liberates believers from the law and grants them adoption as God's children. Now this, of course, came in a Roman world, right? The Romans were in charge of Palestine at this time, and adoption often referred to in the Roman world a transfer of a child or slave into a family, granting them full rights as legitimate heirs. So the cultural background gives weight to Paul's use of the adoption language. He's using this adoption language, emphasizing the transformation from slavery to freedom, the slavery of sin and the slavery of the law to freedom as God's sons. So understanding these things helps Paul's argument about radical shift in believers' lives. Once people give their life to the Lord, they have a new identity. And that identity is in Christ Jesus. Amen. They are now free. Amen. Now, that's the historical context. Another way of looking at this is, what is this saying theologically? And theologically, Galatians 4:6 is talking about the intimacy and assurance of believers' relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. Do we need the Holy Spirit today?
Amen.
We do. It reveals in Galatians that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are operating together. This family, the God family, is operating together for our salvation. Your salvation, amen? God the Father initiates with adopting us. The Son secures it through redemption. And the Holy Spirit actualizes it in our hearts by enabling us to cry out, Abba, Father. And the use of Abba shows the profound nature of this relationship. Abba in Aramaic means father or daddy, right? It conveys both reverence and intimacy. It indicates a shift from the perception of God as distant, way out there somewhere, right? And under the law, to a close, personal relationship facilitated through the Holy Spirit. Through the Spirit, believers not only acknowledge God as Father, but experience Him as their Father. That's what we need, right? Practical Christianity. We need to experience that God is caring for us. God cares for His children. Amen?
Amen.
Another thing here is this transformative nature of God's Word. Even as this is the angle of transformation. So as the family, the Trinity is working for our salvation, so we the family then, God's church, we the family of God begin to be filled with His Holy Spirit and produce the fruit of Christ's character and the presence of the Holy Spirit as we work for the salvation of those outside the family. Amen?
Amen.
To bring them into the family of God. Someone say amen.
Amen.
And Sister Ellen, my good friend, says about Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, let me read it. It says, tender sympathy, wondrous love, that God, the infinite God, has made it our privilege to approach Him by the enduring name of Father. No earthly parent could plead more earnestly with an erring child than He who made us pleads with the transgressor. No human interest has ever followed the impenitent with such tender invitations. Then, with what tender sympathy should we labor for those erring and sinful who are perishing around us? We must work in the spirit which Christ worked, in the compassionate tenderness that He manifested. I like how she says that. Another way to look at this text in Galatians 4, 6. Let me read the text again, just in case you've forgotten what it says. It says in Galatians 4, 6, if you have your Bibles, you can look at it. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So what was the author of Galatians, what was his intent in writing this? Well, Paul, right? His intent in this verse is to remind that Galatians of their new status as God's children and to assure them of their full inheritance through Christ. He's emphasizing the sending of the Spirit of His Son. Paul highlights that this identity is a direct result of Jesus' work, not dependent on adherence to the law. Paul warns against returning to legalistic practices, which would undermine the freedom and intimacy believers already enjoy in Christ Jesus. Paul also likely intended to counter the arguments of the Judaizers by demonstrating that the law served as a temporary guardian until Christ came. With Christ's arrival, believers move into their inheritance as sons. Notice verse 7 real quick here. It says, "Wherefore," and this is Galatians 4, 7, "Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." And so this argument reinforces the sufficiency of the gospel over and over against reliance upon the law. But let's look at another way of looking at the text. As we read through this literature, there's a context here that falls within Paul's larger discussion, the transition from slavery to sonship, through this whole chapter of Galatians chapter 4. We have a metaphor of a child. Let's read a few of these verses. Galatians 4, 1 through 5. "Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might be received the adoption of sons." Hallelujah. Amen. So this metaphor of a child and a guardian or tutor representing the law is to teach us, right? The tutor teaches us how to follow God. The law is a blessing because then we learn to follow God. Amen?
Amen.
However, the law cannot save us. That's where Jesus steps in. Amen?
Amen.
And under Jesus, we are, in a sense, above the law because we're not breaking it anymore, but we're not doing it because it's the law. We're not breaking it because it's a joy to keep the law of God. It's a joy. It's a relationship with Jesus that we don't want to offend and dishonor Jesus or our Heavenly Father. Amen? It's a joy because the Holy Spirit changes the way we look at it. And now we want to follow it because it's the joy of our heart. Amen? Like David said, "Teach me your commands and I will do them." Yes, we can do them and with joy because we are in relationship to our Heavenly Father. This adoption of being adopted in as sons is the basis of Galatians 4:6, which emphasizes the experiential evidence of adoption, the Spirit's testimony, and the believer's cry of intimacy. The preceding verses before Galatians chapter 4 is Galatians chapter 3. Let's look at a few verses. Start in 26 with me. Galatians 3 now and 26. It says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Amen?
Amen?
I hope we all have faith in Christ Jesus. Because it says, if we do, then this is true of us. Amen? "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ,
then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So this preceding verse and the verse again right after verse 6, which is what we're talking about, verse 6, is verse 7. Look at it again one more time. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So Paul is emphasizing the believer's new identity in Christ, transcending ethnical, social, gender boundaries to demonstrate the unity of the family of God. Amen? And the gift of the Holy Spirit mentioned in verse 6 is pivotal. It's both a sign of our sonship and daughtership, right? And a down payment of inheritance. Hold your finger in Galatians for a minute. Let's flip over to Ephesians. Ephesians is the next book. I want to show you something. Ephesians 1:13. Say amen when you get there. In Ephesians 1:13 it says, "In whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." Is that right? Is that you? Did you hear the gospel and then trust that God's word was truth? Amen. In whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with what? Okay, I got one lady awake up here. Okay. After you were sealed with what? This microphone doesn't project your voices like it does mine. I'm not hearing anything out of it. Okay, one more time. This is Galatians, just in case, or not Galatians, sorry, Ephesians. We flipped over to 1:13, and it says, "In whom you were trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after you believed you were sealed with what?" There you go. That's a little better. At least maybe 49% of you responded to that one. 49. Okay, well, anyway, so the Holy Spirit, that's right. The Holy Spirit. So, praise God for the Holy Spirit. His down payment of the inheritance is secured. So, going back now to Galatians again. Galatians chapter what? 4. Okay, yeah, I got one person awake up here. We're in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. And we're looking at now these verses again. And notice the first part here. Galatians 4, 6, it says, "And because you are sons." What does that mean, because you are sons? This phrase connects back to verse 5, where redemption through Christ enables us to be adopted. The plural sons, here Greek, huio, stresses inclusivity, applying to all believers as heirs, regardless of our ethnicity or gender or anything else. So, then we continue the text, Galatians 4, 6. It says, "Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son." Now, the Greek word expostelion means sent, right? And it mirrors the phrase in verse 4 where God sent His Son. So He sent His Son, and now He's sending what? His Spirit, right? The Spirit of His Son. And so this reflects God's deliberate and active role in salvation. Is God active? Sure. Is He deliberate? Absolutely. The Spirit of His Son signifies the Holy Spirit, whose presence confirms that believers are united with Christ. Hold your finger here again. Let's go over to Romans for a minute. Now this is back, going back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Say amen when you get there. Romans 8, 9. Okay. So we just said the Spirit of His Son symbolizes or signifies the Holy Spirit, whose presence confirms that believers are united to Christ. Romans 8, 9 says, but ye are not in the flesh. What? I thought we were in the flesh. Paul said we're not in the flesh. Listen to what he says. Ye are not in the flesh, but where? In the Spirit. Hallelujah, brothers. We are in the Spirit. That's what Paul says. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Well, did Jesus go back to heaven? And if he did, then what did he say that he was going to do? He's going to send his Holy Spirit to live inside. He said, it's better for me to go to heaven so that I can send the Holy Spirit to live inside of each one of you. So unless Jesus is not telling the truth, he has sent his Holy Spirit already to live inside of you. Amen?
Amen?
And that's why Paul says this. He says, yes, the Holy Spirit lives inside you. Therefore, you are not in the flesh anymore, but in... Hallelujah. We're in the Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, of course, this is the part where I have to say that God doesn't force himself in. Remember this illustration of Jesus standing at the door and knocking. The Holy Spirit doesn't force himself in either. He comes gently. He comes with our consent. Are you open to allow God's Spirit into your life today? To change you totally so that you would not walk in the flesh anymore, but in the Spirit. I love what Romans 8:1 says, right? Therefore, there is no condemnation to those who walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, right? But here it says we're not. We're not in the flesh. Once we have invited the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, we are changed. And now we are walking in the Spirit. Praise God Almighty.
Amen.
And so we go back now to Galatians 4:6. I hope you left a finger there or a marker or something. Galatians 4:6. So it said, and because you're the sons of God, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. Into your hearts. Wait a minute. What's that mean? The heart, Greek, cardia, represents the innermost being of a person. The center of our emotions, our thoughts, our will. This indicates an internal transformation rather than an external observance of the law. What do you say? That's what we need, isn't it? It's just not going through the motions. It's a heart change, isn't it? And that's what he's saying. He says, into your hearts. The Spirit comes into your hearts, enabling us to cry out, Abba, Father. The Greek participle, crying out, krazon, reflects an emotional and instinctive response. Where does this come from? From the Spirit, right? God's Spirit is leading us to Christ. And our response is instinctive. It's like, yes, I want that. Hallelujah, right? The dual use. Now, of course, there's two words here. It's Abba and Father. Well, I thought Abba meant Father. Isn't Abba an Aramaic word that means Father? Yes? Well, then why does it say Abba and Father? Why not just say Abba? There's something here, isn't there? The word Father is Greek, and it's pater, and it underlines the fact that you have the Aramaic, which is what the Israelites were speaking, but you also have the Greek, which the Gentiles were speaking. So the dualistic nature then means that the gospel is universal. It appeals to both the Jewish and the Gentile audiences. The cross is for everybody. Amen? Again, if we turn back to Romans for a second, Romans 8:15, turn with me there. Romans 8:15 says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry," what? We cry, "Abba, Father." Hallelujah. So this assurance, it gives us the assurance and privileges of addressing God directly. In the Old Testament, in Isaiah 63, hold your finger, or keep a marker in Galatians, we'll come back. But go with me to the Old Testament, Isaiah 63 for a moment. Isaiah 63. In Isaiah 63, and we're looking at verse 16. Say amen when you get there. Amen. Okay, Isaiah 63:16, it says, "Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Lord, art our father, our redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting." And in Hosea 11, it says, God's love for Israel is as his child. So throughout the scriptures, you have this symbol, this idea of God being the Father and his children being those who accept him, right? Those who accept this relationship that he wants with us. The relationship of an intimate family. And this is fully realized in the New Testament, that God loves us. He loves his children. You know, in John 3:16, it's pretty universal. Okay, yeah, God loves the world, but I have to ask personally, do you know that God loves you? In Jeremiah, I love Jeremiah 31:3, it says, "For the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love." Do you know that you can take that personally? God is speaking to you. You are loved with an everlasting love. And so in the New Testament, in Romans 8:15, which we read, it parallels Galatians 4:6, emphasizing the Spirit's role in testifying to our adoption and enabling us to cry, "Abba, Father." So these passages demonstrate the realities of the adoption of God. In one commentary, F.F. Bruce says, the epistle to the Galatians, he notes that the word Abba is a term rich in filial intimacy, which only the indwelling Spirit could invoke, making it a shift from religion to relationship. We are sons. We are daughters of God. Amen? Amen. Similarly, Timothy George, in his commentary in Galatians, highlights how the reputation of Abba and Father bridges Jewish and Hellenistic cultures, emphasizing the universal scope of God's redemptive work. So, in conclusion, in Galatians 4:6, we encapsulate the transformative impact of salvation. It ties together the historical redemption accomplished by Christ and the personal apprehension of sonship through the Holy Spirit. So in this verse, Paul unveils the profound privileges of adoption, highlighting that believers cry out for intimacy with God. But that cry comes by the Holy Spirit's work in our life and in our hearts. So it challenges us, this verse challenges us to live fully in our new identity, assured of an intimate relationship that we enjoy with God as our Father. The question is, am I describing your life today? Have you cried out, Abba, Father? I hope that each one of you has, and if you haven't, I want to give you an opportunity to say, yes, I want to cry out to God. I have some things in my life I can't deal with today. Some things that are too hard for me. And I want to cry out to God here today. I want to ask for His help. God loves to hear His children. To hear His children say, Abba, Father, help. And He is delighted for you to do so. I want to give you an opportunity as the music plays here. If you would like, for special prayer, I'm going to invite you to come forward. If there's something you're dealing with that's just beyond you and you want special prayer, I'm going to invite you to come forward as the piano's playing, and I'm going to have special prayer for you. I invite you to say, Abba, Father, I can't do it anymore. I'm doing it all on my own. I need You to save me from this. I need Your help to deliver me from this. If that's you today, I just invite you to come forward as this congregation. Just stay where you're sitting. We're going to sit and sing the closing hymn here. But if that's you, stand up and come forward, and I'm going to have a special prayer for you. So everybody else, if you'll turn to 100, Great is Thy Faithfulness. But if there's something that you're dealing with, you want to cry out, Abba, Father, help me. And I just invite you to come here to the front pew and I'll pray with you. Let's stand. Well, not stand. We're just going to sit as we sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
I did. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Heavenly Father, we've discovered today the privilege we have in calling you Father, Abba. We know because of your great love, your great faithfulness to us, that you desire for us to be a part of your family. So we cry out to you today, Abba, Father. Give you permission in our lives to work, to change, to transform, to save us, Lord, and to save others through us. For it is to your glory we pray, in the lovely name of Jesus. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.